welcome to the Morning Exchange on VoiceCore. My name is Annette Lutz, and I am with the National Federation of the Blind of Ohio, and I'm thrilled to be with you this morning. I'm so glad that all of you are taking the time to listen in on this extremely cold. I mean, my goodness, I know it's January, but does it really need to be so cold here in Columbus, Ohio? It's just shivering, and I'm not a big fan of winter. You can probably hear it in my voice, and the lookout for the weekend doesn't seem much better, so I don't know what we're going to do, but we'll make it through, and I'm glad that hopefully you are all cuddled and warm in your homes and offices and wherever you're taking a moment to listen to us this morning and staying nice and toasty while you're doing it. We're staying very, very busy in the National Federation of the Blind. Right now, we are all preparing for our Washington Seminar. We've talked about Washington Seminar before. This is where delegations from all the NFB affiliates from across the country go to Washington, D.C. to talk to our congressional representation. And we are doing that next week. Weather permitting, we're going to keep our fingers crossed and know that the best is going to happen with that. But we are planning on going. We have 8 of us from Ohio in our delegation, and this will be my first year doing it. I'm going this year. I'm very excited about it. I participated in events like this before. Many of you know I'm a blind vendor. I'm part of the National Association of Blind Merchants, which is a division of the National Federation of the Blind. I've gone to Washington before with that organization, but this is the first actual Washington seminar that I'll be attending. So something at this level, this scale, I'm just excited to go to that. And you can participate in this too, even if you're not going to Washington, D.C. One thing you can do is listen in to our what we call the Great Gathering In, which is the official kickoff to Washington Seminar. And it will be this upcoming Monday, January 26th at 5 o'clock p.m. It lasts a couple of hours, and all of us who will be there in person will be able to feel the vibe in the room. I bet it's kind of like a convention. Those of you who've been to our conventions, I'm really looking forward to this. But if you can't be there, this is going to be streamed over many outlets, over Zoom, over our NFB Alexa skill. And you can find out about all of that, how you can listen in. I'm going to apologize. I am at home and my dog is listening, obviously. And you can find out how to listen in on the Great Gathering In on our website, nfb.org. All the information about Washington Seminar, the topics that we're going to be covering, and everything will be right there on our national website. And there will be links letting you know how to listen in. We hope you'll do that. My next show in February, I'm really looking forward to sharing with you my experience and what all we were able to do at Washington Seminar. Like I said, I'm very excited about this. This is my first time, so can't wait to share it with all of you and hope you can listen in, and I will let you know how you can help even after the fact on the next show. In the meantime, if you can't do anything like go to Washington and be a part of that, we do invite you to come to chapter meetings here in Ohio. We have chapters all over the state. We have 9 total, including 1 at-large chapter. So if you can't physically get to where one of our chapters is meeting on a regular basis, you can join that. Our capital chapter, for those of you listening in and around the Columbus area, meets on the first Saturday of each month at the Clinton Heights Lutheran Church at 15 Clinton Heights Avenue at 10 o'clock a.m. And we would love to have you. But there's information on all of our chapters, where they're located, when they meet, and contact information for chapter presidents on our Ohio affiliate website, which is nfbohio.org. So those two websites, between the nfb.org and the nfbohio voicecore.org will give you just tons of information about what's going on both here in Ohio and across the country with the National Federation of the Blind. We just had National Braille Day when we celebrate the life legacy that Louis Braille has left behind. We all know in the National Federation of the Blind and throughout the blind community how important Braille is to us. So hopefully all of you were able to acknowledge National Braille Day and do something kind of special, read a Braille book, or if you don't know Braille, maybe you thought about learning Braille. If you would love to learn Braille, we have some resources for that as well. So you can reach out to me. My information is on the nfbohio.org website, or we can look at other options for you and try and learn Braille. We know that literacy is so important, and if you're blind and not able to read Braille, you're not as literate as you might want to be. So we'd love to have you learn. And we just stay busy doing so many different things. We're already doing plans for our upcoming national convention and even our state convention, even though that's not all the way till November. You know what? We learn these things show up just as fast as they can be. They get here before we know it. So we're never stop in the National Federation of the Blind, always moving forward. And we'd love you to be a part of that. So today we're going to turn gears a little bit. I know we talk a lot about the different happenings in the National Federation of the Blind, but I also like to have topics of interest to the blind community. And that's what we're doing today. Those of you who listen to Voice Core regularly will know that our guest is no stranger to these airwaves. Harold Yarborough is the audio describer for many different live events here in Columbus. And he's also the host of the Saturday morning sports show here on Voice Core. Good morning, Harold. How are you this morning?
Good morning, Annette. I'm doing well. How are you?
Oh, I'm doing great. You staying warm?
Oh, that's no problem.
All right.
Thank God for roof and heat.
All right. Good. So, Harold, for those of you who don't know you, like I said, many folks who's listening may recognize your voice, but for those who don't, and even those of us who do know you, tell us a little about yourself.
Well, born and raised here in Columbus, got scarlet and gray running through my veins.
Yeah.
I got involved with the radio station, I think it was around 94, 93. Initially, I was reading for the show in the locker room, and then they had somebody else hosting the sports show, and Mary Highland, who was the volunteer coordinator at the time, said they wanted to go in a different direction and asked if I would be interested in doing in hosting the show. I said, me? Do live radio? I don't know about that. And needless to say, I've been doing it ever since, so that's been a ball to do. From there, I've done audio description for the visually impaired. I've also done some acting here in town at some of the various locations and got the chance to play a few roles that I didn't think I would get the chance to do. And so I retired a few years ago from my job after 42 years and staying busy doing this and that and just enjoying life.
All right. What did you do? What was your 42-year career?
I worked at Graybar Electric Company.
Okay.
And we sold electrical and datacom products. And we had a city counter where people would come in to buy materials, and I was the counter manager.
All right. Well, how did you find, so you got into doing audio description at, by working at Voice Core and starting, how did you find Voice Core? What made you lead to start reading for In the Locker Room?
You know something, I don't recall who introduced me to Voice Core, but somebody said, you have a good voice, you gotta look into so-and-so. So I went down and Mary gave me the In the Locker Room show to read. And for a while I was doing that and the sports show on Saturday mornings. And that got to be kind of, you know, you're down there for 2.5-3 hours. And
yeah.
And so at some point I had to let the reading part of it go. In fact, I think that was probably just after my daughter was born, so I could spend more time with her. So yeah, I've been involved doing that ever since. And
well, that's awesome.
As far as audio description, I go in one morning and they had a sign on the board saying that the Ohio State University was looking for people to do audio description. And it sounded interesting, so I signed up and went through the classes and I've done that ever since.
So you started at Ohio State? Is that where your first gigs were at?
Well, that's where the training for audio description took place.
Okay.
So there was about a dozen of us, I think, that went to the initial classes and got certified, if you will. And we went from there.
All right. Well, what all do you do with? I know the one that where I have found you is Harold does the Broadway series audio description here in Columbus. And mm-hmm. I love musical theater. So my daughter and I go to many, many shows. She's blind as well, and we enjoy your audio description. So what other things do you do, if any?
As far as audio description?
Yes.
Initially, early on, we were also doing the summer movie series down at Kappa.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a list of us, and they would go through and kind of divvy up the stuff as best they can to see who was interested in doing what. I honestly don't know what happened to the rest of them. I don't know if they're still doing it someplace or not. I know they still do it for the summer movie series,
yes.
Right?
Yes, yes, that
do
is.
You go, do you mm-hmm. attend those?
Yes, I have. Not who all does, of them, but once in a while.
Who does?
Jane Aaronfall.
Okay.
Does okay. that? So she actually was a guest on here a few years ago.
Okay.
So I know she still does those and does some different plays and things throughout Columbus as well.
Mm-hmm. Well, for the most part, only the Broadway series had been available.
Okay.
It's my understanding if something comes up that somebody wants to see, for example, and I can't remember who it was, there was a singer that came to town and somebody requested that be described. And they asked me to do it. I can't remember who it was, though. But that was the only thing outside of theater and the movies that I've ever done.
Okay. So before you started doing it, I said, I know you do all the Broadway series shows, which mm-hmm. I know can be challenging. We'll talk about that here in a minute. Were you a fan of musical theater?
I love musical theater.
All right.
Love musical theater. And in fact, if you want to hear this long story, I can share the story.
Go ahead. Yes.
Well, my father, there were five boys in his family, and my dad was the only one to have sons, me and my brother. So when the last of the brothers passed, I was I was in charge of his affairs. And I would look at him on his bed as he was to the point where he couldn't do anything else for himself, and I wondered what he was thinking. I'm sure you lay there and you think about regrets in life of things you've done and things you haven't done. So in the meantime, I don't think there's anything more powerful than standing on stage and hitting that signature note in a song. And I thought to myself, I wonder if I could do that. So audio description comes up and I get the chance to do Jekyll and Hyde. I had never seen it. But that was one of the ones that I got the chance to describe, and it ended up being one of my favorite musicals. Well, fast forward to a year or two later, and I do the play, Big River.
Okay.
Now, Big River is the story of Huckleberry Finn, and there's a runaway slave in that play named Jim, and I listened to him sing, and I thought, he's in my range. I wonder if I could do that. So fast forward to my last uncle that passed away, and I'm taking care of him, and I see him laying there, and I'm thinking about this, regretting being on my deathbed, not trying to do so-and-so.
Yeah.
So my wife talks me into doing Vaudevillities downtown, which is a musical review, and I got the chance to be in the chorus for that one year. But in conversations with one other lady that was down there for the first time, she informed me that Jekyll and Hyde was going to be done out in Hilliard that next summer. I said, get out of here. That's my favorite play. So my wife talks me into going out for that. I get in the chorus for that. And then they announced the next year, we're doing Big River. I said, get out of here. So I tried out for that, and I got the role of Jim in Big River. And that's kind of how it snowballed from there.
Oh, wow. Oh, that's great. And so I guess it really makes it when you do these, and since you love musical theater so much, it's always good when you love what you're doing. So
I'm sure. Oh, absolutely. Absolutely it is.
What other acting things have you done? Oh, my goodness. I'm going to try and move again. I apologize to everybody listening. They are doing some work around my house outside, and my dog finds it very objectionable. So I'm going to try and move to another part of the house here where he may not be quite as loud.
You say
I'm
other roles I have
it
done?
It doesn't happen more often than this, to be honest, when we're on the air. So I apologize. But what other acting? Have you done other acting then, too?
I got the chance to play Hoke in Driving Miss Daisy twice.
Oh,
I got
great.
The chance to play. I actually got the chance to play Ebenezer Scrooge out at the Columbus Civic Theater in A Christmas Carol one year. And that's a role that I never would have thought that I would, you know, get the chance to do. I played Booker T. Washington in Ragtime. I actually played the Bishop in Les Mis out in Hilliard one year.
Oh, wow. That's a great one. Well, that you have a lot of credit tuning, then. That's awesome.
Well, I still don't know what I'm doing, but I've been fortunate enough to be able to do.
You must be able to fake it pretty good.
For a while there, I got by.
Yeah. No, when, like I said, we really enjoy your audio description of the Broadway series. Tell us then, you said how you kind of got started doing that. What do you do to prepare for... because I imagine live theater, it is a challenge to describe everything. So.
It really is, and especially with musicals that have choreography, because you can't say everything. How to prepare? Generally, we get the chance to go see it. We call it the preview, and that gives us an idea of what to look for. When to say something or when not to say something, because one of the tricks is not to talk over the dialogue and not talk over the singing. So you want it to be as minimal as possible, but you want to try to fill in as many blanks as possible. So when I do mine, I'll look at the play first. I'll keep in my mind what I'm looking at on stage, going from left to right. And when there are scenes that happen in certain places, like in the garage or in the living room or whatever it is, I'll try to set that up in what I call my program notes to begin with. So at the very beginning, before the show even starts, I'll say, when we're in the bedroom, we see so-and-so on the left-hand side and working to the right. We see this and this and this and this, whether it be stairways or windows or whatever it is that might be pertinent to different parts of the play. So you can visually think, okay, there's a window over here on the left-hand side. When I say they walk over to the window, you can envision them walking over to the window.
Yeah.
And I don't have to say it every time they show that scene in the room. So you try to do that as best as possible. And the biggest trick there is try to remember everything you see, because you only get to see it the one time. and then the other trick is, there are parts generally in a play that you anticipate coming, so you can... to make sure you get that out and not forget about it. Case in point, we did Harry Potter here not too long ago.
Oh, yes.
And there's a scene where Harry's sitting at the table, and there's this big stack of paperwork sitting on the table, and he waves his wand or whatever it was, and it moves from one side of the table to the other. And so I watched that, and I think to myself, okay, when that comes up Saturday, when I have to do the description, I have to remember to do that on point, so they'll know what's happening. All it takes, though, is for me to get a brain fart for that second and be able to forget about it until he does it. And now I'm saying it a second or two after the fact, which kind of takes away from it a little bit. because everybody else is reacting and you don't know what they're reacting to.
Yeah. So, I can see where that'd be challenging.
It is, because you really have to pay attention. Your mind can't wander, and it gets tricky. I know I leave some stuff out at times, but for the most part, I think I get most of it in. So,
you do. As somebody who has listened to you many, many times, you do really hit the high point. I know that.
Well, I appreciate that.
And it's hard when there's so much going on the stage. It would be impossible to capture everything. So I can definitely feel the challenge that you have.
Oh my God. Well, when there's six different sets of couples dancing on stage at the same time, and even though their choreography may be the same, unless there's a name for what they're doing, it changes so fast, it's not worth trying to keep up with.
Right.
Understood. And even if there was a name for each move, even if I knew what it was, I would have to hope that the people listening know what it is, even know what I'm talking about.
That's true. That makes sense. Yeah, if you told me they're up there doing the Watusi or whatever, what is that?
Well, I know there's a term called a plié in ballet or something. I don't know what a plié is.
Exactly.
But even if I did, there might be somebody that doesn't know what it is, so I'm wasting my time telling them because they don't know what it is anyway.
Yeah.
So you have to pick and choose spots like that to be able to do it effectively. And hopefully I hit the mark more often than not.
Was there any scenes that you found particularly challenging? Anything that you're just like, oh my goodness.
Yes. What was the one we just did? Daggone it.
Was it the chase seat in Someone's
Yes.
Hot. That was
Yes. Yes, 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 yes,
that
yes.
One. When you were describing it and just the trying to picture them running around through all the doors and
Yes, that's exactly what it was too. And there was two or three of them like that in different plays where there's so much going on in that little 3 minute or 5 minute segment. You can't say everything. But by the time you get it out, something else is going on that you got to say. And you just pick and choose your spots. And if it's pertinent, make sure you say it. And, you know.
Yep.
That's all you can do.
I get it. The only good thing for you on that scene was they weren't talking. It was just music playing and they're all running around chasing each other through doors and
True.
Different people's True. Coming out and sneaking out. So at least you could kind of keep it rolling.
Yeah. That's all we can do in that.
Yep, absolutely. No, I thought you did. You kind of gave us a heads up before that one. You said there's going to be a chase scene coming up and I'm not going to be able to tell you.
I'm going to tell you right now. I'm going to screw it up, but I'll do what I can.
No. You did fine. I think you did as well as anybody could. And I said, oh, here it is. And then I said, Misty and I are like, oh, I actually did really good with that. So,
I will share with your listeners. Yes, we do the Broadway series down at the Ohio Theater. But Short North Stage also provides audio description for all of their stuff. There's always a performance set aside for each one of their runs for audio description. That's usually, I do those also, and I try to make those on a Saturday afternoon at 2 o'clock to stay consistent with the Kappa stuff that we do at the Ohio Theater.
Oh, awesome.
So if you're interested in those, yeah. I hope to, when the new schedule comes out, I want to put together a promo that they can run on the radio station that mentions not only the Kappa stuff, but the Short North stuff as well. So people will be aware of it.
Oh, that's great. Yeah, I know Kappa has continuous things coming around. And like you said, the Short North Theater is always doing something. I've been to a couple of their productions, but I've never been... there per se. The ones I've been at, it's been at the Ohio or maybe the Palace or something. Every year they do. You said you were in it once, the Christmas Carol. I've been to that, and that Short North Productions do, and it's very good.
Yeah, very, very good. They do a great job. Listen, I'll tell you what, they have a huge stage out there, and what they do out there is the closest you'll find to the Broadway stuff downtown.
All right.
The talent is fantastic, and it's worth it.
Absolutely. No, well, I'll have to go on Tappa's website and look and see about some of that. That's great. We do some of their other things that Tappa puts on. I know next month, I'm very excited about this. So I'm going to share it. I'm going to go see ABBA, the tribute band or cover band or whatever for ABBA. I'm excited about that because I'm a big ABBA fan. So Tappa has so many different things between things like that and plays and musicals, comedies. You know, they have a lot of comedians come and just so much stuff. So Tappa's website, Columbus Association for the Performing Arts, those who don't know when we're saying Tappa, that's what we mean. And they have just so many things going on around the city. And from what I understand, if you request, they will try to do audio description. I may try and see about ABBA. That'd be nice. Maybe
there you go.
We can get you there. You're like, oh boy, ABBA.
Hey, I like ABBA.
Okay, well, we'll see what we can do. I might call
somebody. Yeah.
See what we can do.
Now, let me ask you, Annette.
Okay.
As a patron, what do you look for in audio description? Anything particular?
As long as we know what's the main things that's going on. Like you said, you can't capture everything. And we try to, you know, if there's a major instance, and you're really good at hitting those, I like the description that you give beforehand, so you can kind of picture the stage. Some of the times, and this, when I don't know that you'd be able to do, because when they change those scenes and everything, I'm always wondering, how'd they change that so quickly? Because all of a sudden there's like, you know, they're in a room of this type, and all of a sudden they're in a whole other place on the day. And I'm like, well, there was no stopping. How did they change everything so quick? So that's the type of stuff I wonder about a little bit. And it really doesn't have anything to do with the play itself, because you tell me where they are now. But I always wonder, how did they make those changes so quick? And
yeah, those aren't always easy to describe it either, because it happens so quickly.
Yeah, you'll say somebody's on a bench, or we just saw Back to the Future. And the DeLorean, that I heard the effects on that were really cool. We just saw the musical, Back to the Future, the musical. So those of you who are familiar with Back to the Future, the movie, this was the musical version of it. A lot of differences, but the same story. And I could tell by the audience reactions that the scenes with the DeLorean were just really cool.
Well, first of all, that probably should not have been a musical.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
I mean,
I'll give you that one, but go.
Let me tell you something. When I go to a musical, the first thing that jumps out at me generally is if I leave with a song in my head, if I have never heard the soundtrack, and I walk out of there with at least one of the songs in my head, generally, I like that musical.
Yeah.
And usually musicals that are real good, like Phantom of the Opera, Jekyll and Hyde, Ragtime, they depend on the vocals of the stars to really make the story stand out. So you need real good singers to do that. And Back to the Future, not only was the music forgettable, but the people that were singing did not have to have those voices. So I could have pulled anybody out of aisle 13 and probably sung the same thing that they were doing. So it really didn't stand out. You know, well,
being in theater,
you're around a lot of people that sing all the time. And I know a lot of great singers, and they're just as good, if not better, than those people we saw.
Yeah.
But I just didn't think it lended itself to be a musical, especially as weak as the soundtrack was. The story itself and the special effects were great, but outside of that,
I'll give that to you. I kind of thought the same thing. The show itself was entertaining, but the music was definitely secondary compared to the rest of it. Where the month before, in December, we saw Six. And I still catch myself singing some of them songs and stuff.
Yes. Well, you know, some plays like Elf, Mrs. Doubtfire, those are kind of fun type plays. If you want to throw music in there and have them sing, that's fine because it's supposed to be fun anyway. Back to the Future is not a fun story, though. So I didn't think it lended itself to music.
Yeah, it was. It was a little different. You're right. It was. And then I know you're getting ready to do Les Miserables. I did not buy the tickets to see that one. That was an add-on, so we're going to miss that one, unfortunately, but not able to make it. But the next one, we're going to come see The Sound of Music.
There you go.
Everybody knows songs from The Sound of Music. Historic ones. And we saw it several years ago when it was here, but I don't believe we got an audio described. I think we went like on an evening performance or something, and so looking forward to getting it described. I bet was a challenge for you, and I remember when I ran into you outside of the theater and before it came on, and I said, I bet you're going to have fun with this one. Hamilton. Hamilton, it's so popular. So many people have seen it, and it's just beloved. And the soundtrack is, people quote songs from it and all that all the time, but it's never stops. There's no time to describe anything on Hamilton. It continuously moves.
That's true.
The first time we saw Hamilton, I actually took the headphones off. I was like, I can't listen to the description, and I was losing what was going on the stage. And so I actually stopped listening to the description. That was my first time ever even seeing it. I had never heard it on TV or the soundtrack or anything. So I wanted to follow the story. And but since I've seen it now twice live and several times, on TV and heard the soundtrack, and I know the story well. This last time, I was really engaged in your audio description because I said I've never really had it described. So now, if I miss some words on the stage, I'm not worried about it. So that was really good.
The beauty with Hamilton is the choreography is just phenomenal. For example, he does a lot of writing, and he'll put it in the mail. So he'll hand it off to somebody else after he writes it. They hand it to somebody. It goes all the way around the stage from left to right. And it comes back down the stairs on the other side. And then it gets to where it's going, to George Washington, for example. And he reads the letter. And that kind of stuff is just so clever. But we have to try to find a way to say that and get that point across so you understand what's going on stage while they're still singing the whole time.
Right.
It's just beautiful.
I've even seen it, on like the Disney Channel and stuff, and where they have scripted audio description, where somebody sat down and wrote it all out, and they only get two or three words in here and there. I mean, it's there's no way to do it. And I said, I would love to see it. And you came the closest. Your rendition there of the audio description of just, I'm not going to listen to a thing on the stage. I just want to hear what's happening now, since I've seen it so many times. Like you just said with the letter, I didn't realize that, so much, and everything. That'd be kind of cool to do sometime. Just have someone describe it and it just kind of be in the background since I've been familiar with it for so long. But I can't believe how challenging. I know that one had to be.
Well, something like that, since it happens two or three times in the play, that's one of the things that I'll try to set up in the beginning.
Okay, yeah.
So before the play even starts, and then when I just say mail, you know somebody's handed it off to somebody and it's going around the stage and, you know, instead of trying to describe it each step as it takes place.
Yeah, yeah.
So.
Now, what was some of your favorite plays that you've gotten to describe? You mentioned some that you liked, you know, earlier on in your career and all that, but some of the best ones you got to describe that you just knew, how, this is fun. I'm just having a blast doing this.
You know, that's the beauty of doing description. You get the chance to see a lot of stuff that you might not have seen otherwise. One that really jumped to my top five is Come From Away.
Oh, okay.
Did you see that one?
I have not seen that one. That was, I think it came during COVID. And so we stopped doing plays during, because I'm claustrophobic. I can't wear a mask for all that time. So I couldn't go when the mask mandates were going on.
That shot into my top five. That was just phenomenal. But that Dear Evan Hansen was very good. I'm not sure I like Hadestown that much. It was okay, but it didn't hit me like some of the other ones did.
Yeah, that one's coming back. We're going to see that later this year.
Yeah, yeah. I can't think of another one off the top of my head.
Yeah, well, and then there's the biggies. Obviously, we talked about Hamilton, Wicked, I know you've done Wicked.
Yes.
What, two or three times? I'm trying to remember how many times we've seen that one live, but that one's awesome.
That's very good.
Yes. And The Lion King.
Yes.
I enjoyed your description of The Lion King. That was our third time when it was here a couple years ago, our third time seeing it. And I think we had one audio description many years ago, but I enjoyed yours. I loved it when you say, oh, they're in attack mode and they put their little attack face on. And I got a whole new perspective of it with your audio description. I thought you did a fabulous job with that one
too. Oh, bless you. Thank you. Thank you.
That's a great one. So all these shows, everybody listening, if you get a chance, an opportunity to see these, that's definitely looking forward to it. I think you would enjoy them. Like you said, you do the 2 o'clock on Saturday. So usually when the Broadway series is in town, for those who don't know, it's Tuesday through Sunday. They do a nightly show Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. A matinee show Saturday and Sunday, then an evening show Saturday and Sunday. That's the typical schedule. Now, some of them have longer engagements where they're here 2 or 3 weeks. But typically you do the Saturday afternoon, 2 o'clock, most of them. Shows. And that's pretty well set in stone, isn't it? That's
yes. Yeah. Just to maintain that consistency. And also those that run longer, like 2.5 weeks, like Hamilton did or Wicked, or there's a second audio describe show, which is the last Sunday of the run.
Okay. And you do
that matinee.
Yeah. The first Saturday when there's multiple Saturdays. It's usually always the first Saturday. And I do know they also have, for those people who know someone who's hearing impaired, they do a sign language interpretation too for that same show. I don't know if they do those for all of them, but I know they do it then. I always enjoy it when they're taking their last vows and stuff. You always say they acknowledge the sign language person. Everything.
Yeah, cool. they don't acknowledge the audio describer, but that's okay.
I always thought of that too. I was like, they should like way up to you. And
no, it's all good. I'd rather people not know I'm up there anyway.
And where are you in the theater?
At the very rear of the balcony. There's we used to be in the in the balcony itself, sitting among the people, which is really hard to do.
Why?
Because you're trying not to talk loud, and there are people around you. So they found a space that's behind the seating. There's a like a window that they opened up to give us access to.
Okay.
So I can sit up there now and do it from there.
Oh, that's good. I can only imagine if you're sitting there amongst everybody and you're talking, you're probably getting some dirty looks and people saying, hey, why are you doing this?
Well, it's become easier now since we have the window there. Now,
when
we have to do something over at the palace, I don't have that room. So they do have me in the audience with other people, but they do block off this little section of about 10 seats that they don't sell.
Okay.
So nobody's right there close to me generally.
Okay.
But, you know, still.
You're not getting shushed.
But you try to be quiet. My voice, it feels like my voice carries. So, you know, I have to talk.
Well, you have that good voice, and you need somebody with a strong voice to do this. I mean, you are performing when you're doing this. It is a performance, as it were, you know, and you need to have a good voice, and you have a good radio voice for when you do your radio stuff here. I am very hoarse, so I don't have a good radio voice, but they still let me on here anyway. But
I think you sound wonderful.
Well, thank you. But, I'm trying to think. We talked about some of your challenges and stuff. Now, Palace, every now and then they will do a show at the Palace Theater. And I'm not as much of a fan. I like the Ohio Theater. The Palace has a whole different setup for audio description. They give you like these little phones, and I don't like their system. So I'm glad most of the things we see is Ohio.
Well, at the Ohio Theater, they've installed a permanent transmitter upstairs in that room that I'm in.
Oh, okay.
The way it had been before, they would give me the transmitter, and I would, you know, have to hook it up and walk in, plug it up and go wherever I needed to go. So I think it's a little better at the Ohio because it's already internal.
Oh, yeah.
And then at the Palace, they have to kind of set you up, and, you know, it's a little different there, so.
Now, do you follow musical? Are there any plays that haven't been here yet that you're just looking forward to, or even ones that's scheduled the rest of this year that you're like, I'm looking forward to seeing that one?
Not that I can think of.
Okay.
No, not that I can think of.
Yeah, I am looking forward to March. They're doing The Outsiders, based on the S.E. Hinton book. Mm-hmm. And I know that got a lot of accolades in Broadway. Mm-hmm. I think it won some Tony Awards and all of that. So I'm looking forward to that one. Of course, that's a book that many folks have read in school, and a lot of folks saw the movie from way back in the probably late 70s, early 80s, The Outsiders. So looking forward to that one.
Is that Neil Simon?
No. Well, I don't know who did the play. S.E. Hinton wrote the book, and it's based on her, but I don't know who did the play.
Okay.
I doubt it's Neil Simon because it's very new. But looking forward to that one. We also have Shuck coming up this season.
Yeah, that's everything I've seen on that is supposed to be pretty good.
Okay, I heard it's funny, but I don't know much more about it. And Hadestown, you said, which mm-hmm. we haven't seen before. And then the season ends this year with Water for Elephants, which is a wonderful book.
Yes.
So I'm looking forward to that too. Just an awesome book.
I am not going to be here for that one.
Uh-oh,
I'll be out of town, but my daughter is going to be doing that for me. So.
Oh, well, let her know that we'll be listening. We'll be there. So
I will let her know.
That she will have an audience. Has she done it before, or will this be her first time?
It'll actually be her first time, but I've been trying to groom her. So we're working on it.
Awesome. Awesome.
Yeah.
So tell us what else you do. Now, we've hit all over the place with the auto description and stuff. Tell us more about, I mean, you said you're a sports fan. You do our the Saturday morning show, which I need to make it a point to listen in on that. more often. And so now, are you a sports player? Did you play sports, or do you?
Did not play. And okay. I'm not even sure I'm the biggest sports fan. I just happened to be available and said yes.
Well, you know,
I don't sit down and watch it.
You need Scarlet and Gray, so in this town, that's pretty much what's important.
Yeah, but you know something? I question my fandom sometime. I'm a Cleveland Browns fan also.
Okay.
So if they are not on TV, a real fan would make it a point to go see them every now and then. I don't do that. I don't mind going, but I'm not making it a point to try to go. A real fan would find a place to go watch the game if it's not on regular TV. I don't do that. If they're not on, I'll just watch somebody else play. So I have to question my fandom sometime. I'm not that big of a fan, but
husband is a big Cleveland Browns fan, and he does not go to the games and everything. Now, he'll usually try and find a way to see it. I think we have some streaming services and stuff that particularly we have for those type of things. But he doesn't.
Well, with the product they've been putting on the field here lately, first of all, you're going to pay $100 or $200 or something per ticket to go see them. I got to drive 3 hours north. I got to sit in cold weather to watch them lose. And then I got to come back 3 hours. That's not very entertaining to me.
That doesn't sound fun at all when you put it that way.
And the older I get, the harder it is. So I don't.
I'm with you there. It's much better to sit in your home and enjoy something on TV or radio. As a blind person, a lot of sight people don't get it so much, but as a blind person, I like the radio broadcast. One of my favorite hobbies is listening to sports on the radio.
Really?
Oh, I listen to it. I will listen to the Browns, obviously the Buckeyes. There's no doubt about that. But I also follow the Blue Jackets. And then my top team, top sport, top team for my whole life, I am a huge Cincinnati Reds fan. So all summer long, I listen to Reds games. I listened to Marty Brenneman and Joe Nuxall when I was a little kid. They were my lullaby during half of the year when I grew up. So I listened to the Reds almost every game.
Nice.
Yeah, so it sports is very important to me. I enjoy listening to radio broadcasts a lot, and a lot of times, even when it's big games like the Buckeye games, and so my husband obviously wants to watch it on TV. I'll go in the other room and put it on the radio, because as a blind person, the radio just it's built in audio description. So
absolutely, it is. Now, of course, you're dating yourself when you mentioned Joe Nuxall,
I know it. Well,
I know who you're talking about, too, so I'm right with you.
Joe's been gone. He passed away back in 2007, and I've told many folks that, you always hear when famous people pass away and this and that, and you're like, oh, that's sad. He's the only person I've never actually met that I cried when he died, because I just knew he would be missed so much by me listening to him all the time. Because he, even though he was officially retired when he left he wasn't broadcasting anymore on a regular basis. He still came in the booth and gave some commentary every now and then up until he died. In fact, the night he died, he was scheduled to do the call-in show, the Reds Hot Stove League, on 7. He was scheduled to do the show that night. So he still worked a lot, even though once he retired from the actual play-by-play and color commentary that he did for so many years. Well, everyone's like, hey, what happened to blindness issues and stuff? Y'all turned into talking about that's okay.
Well, I'm going to share with you, too.
Go ahead.
I'm, I'm sorry, real quick, I will share with you too, for those that enjoy music, you asked what I have been doing. There's a music compilation that I do on YouTube. And if you like good older music, I mean, you know, 60s, 70s, I play almost anything.
Yeah.
I have this program I call Yarbrough's Yesteryear. And you can hear Barbra Streisand, you can hear James Brown. You know, you can go to radio and find the genre you want to listen to, but that's all you get. And if you want a change, you have to change the station.
Yes.
With Yesteryear, you hear everything. So you can hear Jerry Reed sing when you're hot, you're hot, next to Kool and the Gang singing Celebration.
Oh,
you know, just good music, period. And I throw in a couple of games and stuff here and there, and it's worth the listen. So they're all on YouTube. I've got about 40 of them on there. You can punch it up anytime, listen to them. They're about an hour a piece. And instead of radio, it's a nice little change of pace.
I'm going to do that because you, every song you mentioned are ones I know and love. And
well, you would love Yesteryear. I throw in some old commercials, old TV theme songs, just a bunch of good stuff on there.
There you go. Spell your last name so people can know how to find you on there.
It's YARBROUGH, Yarbrough's Yesteryear.
Okay.
On YouTube.
Well, I will definitely look that up. We only got a few minutes left. I told you this hour always goes so quick. we got a few. Anything else you wanted to add?
No, I just appreciate you guys supporting the audio description, and keep in mind that it is being done up at Short North Stage also, and look for a promo here on the radio station once the new schedule comes out, and we'll let you know what's going on and what shows are coming.
Absolutely, and usually the schedule for the Broadway series comes out in early April. They usually have a big event where they announce it and everything. I've never been to that, but I know I get invited to it each year, and they announce what all the shows are and the dates and all of that. So, and then I will look up the Short North stage because that I know they've done excellent work that I've seen, and definitely looking forward to it. Well, excellent. It's been awesome talking to you, Harold. Like I said, you are a voice that I am familiar with, and I know we've met briefly a couple times outside the theater, but we very much appreciate what you do for blind folks and helping us to enjoy the theater and be able to be fully immersed in what's going on the stage, so we don't, because there are some, I said many times I've gone, if I couldn't make the Saturday show, we've gone to other shows and not had the audio description, and you do miss some stuff. Yeah, you can enjoy the music and the story and all that, but you miss a lot of what's going on. Really pertinent things. So we appreciate the service that you provide.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. And I appreciate you having me on. Thank you so much.
Oh, you are absolutely welcome. And for those who also don't know, if you go to the Broadway series, the handbills they give out, or programs, they give to everybody, they have those in Braille as well. So I'm very happy to see that. Our friends down at Clover Nook provide that for people, blind people going to. So the programs, it lists all the characters and all the actors, tells some of their credits. I enjoy reading that before and sometimes during intermission, and it's definitely another good service that CAPA provides. Well, nice. Harold, thank you so much for joining us today. And for everybody listening, remember to go to those websites that we talked about before, nfbohio.org or nfb.org. There's so much great information, especially on the national one, old speeches, old publications, presidential releases, which is a broadcast that our president puts out every month. He tells our President Rick Carbono, who talks about the happenings in the Federation, some of the stuff that we're working on. The presidential release is a very key thing for everybody to listen to. Now, those of you who go to chapter meetings, you're probably listening to it there. But if you don't go to chapter meetings and want to know in more detail what the Federation's doing, things that I don't even hit on here, listen to the presidential releases. There's also on the nfb.org website, Braille Bulletin. No, that's the wrong one. I'm sorry, Braille Monitors. Braille Monitor is our flagship publication. It comes out about every month. I think maybe it's 10 times a year it actually comes out, but almost monthly. You can sign up to get that. That gives a lot of articles. Like I said, it's a very good newsletter. It tells a lot of things that I talk about on here, like our conventions and Washington seminar. But it also gives some articles written by Federationists talking about different things that they're doing. Also, things you can do on the nfb.org website is sign up to get a free white cane or a free slate and stylus. And our independence markets on there, lots of stuff. You just couldn't go wrong by looking around on that website. And again, I invite you to join us for our chapter meeting here in Columbus. The first Saturday of the month, our next one will be on February 7th, 10 o'clock a.m. at the Clinton Heights Lutheran Church at 15 Clinton Heights Avenue here in Columbus. Love to see someone come into our meeting and say, hey, I heard you on Voice Corps. We love being here on Voice Corps. We appreciate the opportunity to speak to you every third Wednesday of the month. Our next show will be next month on the 18th. And I guess I'm looking forward to sharing with you my experiences at Washington Seminar. But in the meantime, everybody try and stay warm. And remember, you can live the life you want. Blindness is not what holds you back.